Today's reading is from Psalm 1. If you wish to follow the text in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 383. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It is God's word.
Friends, you'll notice today that there is an outline of the sermon in your bulletins. That might be helpful. There won't be a PowerPoint this morning, but that outline would help guide you in where we're going this morning in Psalm 1. We pray. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us this morning from your word, and that we would live wisely, that we would delight in your word and in your instruction, and that we would let your instruction guide us and lead us in 2017. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, it's great to remember on the first day of the new year that God's word is powerful to transform people's lives. We've seen it happen many times in 2016, and we are believing that it will happen in 2017 as well. And there was a certain young man, an immigrant from North Africa, a teacher of philosophy, who was widely respected for his learning and intelligence. But like most people around him in his period of life, he was a pagan. He also lived a life of sexual immorality. By his own admission, he said he was enslaved by lust. Then a fellow teacher who happened to be a Christian gave the young man a copy of the book of Romans from the New Testament. As he read it, he immediately knew that this book was different to anything he'd ever read before. And he said it touched him deeply. He saw that he was a sinful man, that he was separated from God, and that he had no hope of finding peace or joy without God. Despair seized his heart. He threw himself to the ground and he cried out to God to free him from his sin. At that moment, he hears a child singing a nursery rhyme. Pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it. He picks up his copy of Romans and reads from the 13th chapter, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." So the words cut through his anguish and confusion. He immediately surrendered his life to Christ. The year was 386. The young man was St. Augustine. He went on to become one of the key leaders of the young Christian church. While the Roman Empire crumbled, the church grew and grew. And his books, The City of God and his Confessions, still profoundly influenced Christians around the world some 1,600 years later. And it all happened because someone gave this young, immoral man living a completely godless life a copy of the Word of God, and the Word of God transformed him. Who will you listen to in 2017? There are voices everywhere, aren't there? Anywhere you turn on the radio, there's a voice. From the ABC to TGB, there's a great contrast there. From television, from philosophers, from atheists, from personalities, from lecturers and psychologists and university lecturers for some people. I want to remind you today from Psalm 1 to listen to God's word, for it is the wise way to live. It is the way to purposeful life, the way to godliness, the way to real and enduring joy, the way to salvation. And the Psalms are a beautiful part of the Bible used in prayer and praise. As you know, as you read different Psalms, and we're going to look at four of those over the next 4 weeks, God speaks to you when you enter into the experience of the psalmist, someone who's written prayers to God, someone who's written praises to God, someone who's called out to God. And they arose out of real life situations, and they've been collected and placed together for worship. And they declare that Yahweh, God, is king. He is king of life, he is king of history, he is king of all creation. You see, the leader of Russia is not king of all creation. The leader of the United States or Australia is not king of all creation. The psalmist reminds us that Yahweh, the Lord, is king. And friends, there are a variety of psalms in your Bible, and Psalm 1 is termed a wisdom psalm. It's similar to Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Songs. And it reflects, in particular, the book of Proverbs. And what we have in Psalm 1 is really an introduction to the Psalter. It seems as if, as the Psalms came together, this one was placed at the beginning as an introduction. What is its message? Serve Yahweh, live wisely, or reject Yahweh and head for destruction. And the first thing is the attractiveness of a godly life in verses 1 to 3. And he says, blessed is the man, or blessed or happy is the man, or how rewarding is the life of the man or woman who lives a certain way. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. A person can be blessed, let me say, or happy from a negative perspective. He starts with a negative perspective by avoiding the advice, the lifestyle, and the assembly of the wicked person. Firstly, we need to avoid, and you need to keep this in mind this year. There are certain things you need to avoid and certain things you need to do. Firstly, avoid the counsel of the wicked. Do not let yourself be guided by the advice of evildoers. It's amazing what even Christians will listen to and read about and take on board as if it's God's word and it's God's truth, and it's not. Don't listen to the advice of the enemies of God. Don't listen and participate in those lies and those deceptions. Let me give you some examples in 2017. The lies that will be thrown at you. It's okay to lie to get yourself out of a sticky situation in 2017. You're going to get caught in a sticky situation. You may have to tell the truth and it'll be costly for you. We can lie and try to escape. The counsel of the wicked will say, just a lie. It won't matter that much. Well, you've worked hard. You've made all your money. You deserve to spend it on yourself. Go ahead. It's all about you. Don't listen to the advice of the ungodly. Accumulate wealth and goods and property. Live it up. Have another drink. It's New Year's Eve. It doesn't matter if you've had one extra or two extra. If you're drunk once, it doesn't matter that much. You won't get drunk the rest of the year. Don't listen to... That's probably too late now, right? Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Wherever you are, whatever party, whatever happens in the new year, don't listen to them. You love your girlfriend or your boyfriend. What's wrong with sleeping with him? Everyone else is doing it. Seriously, Christian, you can't believe that sex is only for marriage. It is the 21st century. Get with the times. The counsel of the ungodly. And Christians will fall into sin time and time again. Gender is fluid. There's male, there's female, there's everything in between. Homosexuality is normal. Marriage equality should be celebrated. Come on, Christians, stop being bigots. Stop being discriminatory in what you say and do. Just love everyone. Don't worry about God's word. That's old-fashioned. It's not relevant today. Don't listen to it. The counsel of the wicked. Abortion. You didn't really want an extra child, did you? You hadn't planned for that one. It's going to make it tough on your finances. Just terminate it. Pretend it's not a person. Euthanasia. You're feeling very sick and tired and you wish you were dead. You just want to speed up the process. And trust God to take you at the right time. You're in terrible pain. Have an injection. Finish it up quickly. God understands. Or what happens after death? Don't worry about how you live. Don't worry about turning up to church on New Year's Day. Are you guys nuts? Didn't you party late last night? Didn't you go to bed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? What are you doing in church this morning? Thanks, Phil. And the counsel of the ungodly says, you guys are nuts. Sleep in. Go have a nice breakfast by the beach. What are you doing worshipping God? It's New Year's Day. What happens after you die? Nothing happens. You just die, the counsel of the wicked says. And a friend of mine, when he lost a mate at the age of 40, he said, I went to the funeral. He came back. And I said, Ross, what did you learn? He said, mate, I just learned you don't know how long you have to live. Go out, party, for tomorrow you might die. I thought, that's not what you're meant to learn. Meant to learn you've got to take life seriously. Your life could go in any moment. And you have a just God to deal with afterwards. Or universalism you will hear even within the Church of Jesus Christ. In the end, it's all going to end up well. We're all going to end up in heaven. Jesus died for everyone. He loves everyone. There's no hell. There's no judgment. There's no punishment. It's all going to be good in the end. And after all the people who have died and all the celebrities recently, they're all in heaven, right? Everyone's going to heaven. We're going to see them again and we're going to see them again. They're all catching up together. Right, daughter dies, mother dies, it'd be great. I mean, I don't know if they have a faith in Christ or not, but they're all going to be there together. Everyone's always going to be there together. Don't bother sending missionaries across the world. God can save Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus. Jesus did say, go to all nations and tell them about me. Jesus did say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't take that seriously. As a religious leader told me a little while ago, we used to be committed to mission. We're not committed to mission now. You know, if I was born a Muslim in Iran, God understands that and he'll let me into heaven a different way. I'm just saying to you today, which counsel will you listen to? Do not listen to the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or conforming to the way of sinners. Because once you listen to their advice, the next step is to behave like them in immorality or deception or pride or arrogance. Don't listen to them and don't behave like them. And friends, a sinner is someone who misses the mark of God's standards, who deviates from the accepted standards. And once you listen to the ungodly and you start to behave like them, it becomes a habit of ungodliness. Don't listen and don't stand in their way, becoming like them. And blessed is the person who does not sit in the seat of mockers. Do not sit in the gathering or the assembly of the mockers. You listen to their counsel, you start becoming like them, and obey them and behave like them, and then you're part of them. There's the godly, there's a picture here in the Old Testament, there's the godly, the righteous, and then the other group who listen to their false advice, who behave in ungodly ways, and then they sit together. Don't be like that. People mock and scoff at Christianity today. I remember one person saying to me once, you know, Christians are weak, unintelligent people, that's why they need a God. You had that a few times? Or I used to believe in God, as someone told me, don't worry, you'll grow out of it. Any number of attacks upon us, and sometimes you stand and you think, oh, I don't know what to say, what to do. Just remember, God is king. He is on the throne. Christ is a great saviour who died and rose again. Let the scoffing come. But positively, you don't do those things. You don't listen to their counsel. You don't behave like them. You don't sit and assemble with them as part of this rebellious, lawless, godless, wicked group. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So you're different to the one who listen to the counsel of the ungodly, you listen to the counsel of God, which is in the Word. You delight in that Word. I must say, I delighted in the meal I had last night. It was lovely. Lamb shanks, some mashed potato. I also had some time for some ice cream because we wanted to stay in our seats as long as possible so we could see the lights. So I ordered a banana split. Let me say, and a coffee. Linda says, order something else before they kick us out. So I just kept eating. It wasn't a very good banana split, but it was all right. Should be thankful for all things, right? But I delighted in that experience of eating, being with my wife, spending time. It's nice to spend time with your spouses, by the way. Book some restaurants and it's very nice. And spent some time and saw the lights. We delighted in that, how beautiful it was. We didn't delight in the crowds going home, getting to the station, but that was only a 10 or 15 minute problem. But I wonder whether we delight in God's word as much as those things. There's a sense of, I can't wait to get to my word, to the word of God, to open it up, to read it, to meditate upon it, to think about it, to hear God's voice, to have my life and my character transformed by it, to give me a positive look for the day, for the week. I love the story of Benjamin. Benjamin was a barber in Brazil. And he lived in northeastern Brazil. And he felt his life was complete. He had a good job, good health, and he loved his wife. But that didn't matter to one of Benjamin's customers. He knew that Benjamin really needed God. He needed God's word and God's truth. So he gave him a Bible. As Benjamin read the Bible, he realized for the first time that he needed more than a comfortable life, and he needed Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. So Benjamin became a Christian. Someone gave him the word and he read the word and he was transformed by it. In his excitement, though, Benjamin began to share the good news with his customers and give them the New Testament. Now, this is the other way around. Normally, I go into barbers and hairdressers and try to share the gospel. Now, the barber is sharing the gospel. That's good. That's another angle, right, of the hairdresser stories. Now, the owner of the barbershop didn't appreciate it very much. He threatened Benjamin. He said if he lost a single customer because of his witness, Benjamin would lose his job. But he didn't stop and the customers kept coming. There was soon a line waiting to get a haircut and a New Testament from Benjamin. One day, Benjamin was down to his last New Testament. It was going to be a while before his next order came through and he thought he should keep this last one on hand until more arrived. He told his next customer he'd have to wait until his next haircut to get a New Testament. The customer said, I came 50 miles to get my haircut here because I heard you give out New Testaments. Benjamin felt a little reluctant, but he gave the man his last New Testament. And not long afterwards, Benjamin learned that 15 members of the man's family had come to know Jesus through that one New Testament. And Benjamin is used to hearing that kind of story. I wonder if you and I were as excited about God's word and trusted in the power of God to transform lives. I know some of our men are involved with Gideons, for example, and they put the word of God into the hands of students and university students and school students and in hotel rooms and in other areas because they believe the word of God is powerful to change lives. What will you delight in 2017? Please delight in your work and your friends and your children and your grandchildren and food and travel and all the good things God has given us. But will you delight? Will you have a concern for? Will you be preoccupied in the law of the Lord to hear God's voice? Friends, I want you to go to God's word and say, not a burden, oh, I've got to read my Bible again. The pastor said, I've got to read my Bible. I know God, I know I should be reading my Bible, but I tell you, Netflix is much more exciting. Or whatever it happens to be for you. Allowing the word of God to be a delight for you. Meditate upon it. Think about that. Friends, as you read your Bibles and meditate upon it, you'll discover, since the full story, that God made us, we rebelled against him. Judgment is required, but God loves us so much that Christ died for us. And we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. If we repent and trust in him, there is a glorious future. We don't rot in the grave. We live forever with Christ. and it matters who you serve and how you live. The last 2 years, I've read the Bible in a year. I'd never done that until 2 years ago. I finally thought, I'm getting old, I better get into the Word of God and learn more, let God speak to me more deeply. I read sections and studied sections of most of the Bible, but not reading systematically. The first year, 2 years ago, I just read, I think, four chapters in terms of the storyline of the Bible and finished the Bible in the year. Last year, in 2016, I had another plan because I wanted to read some Old Testament and New Testament side by side. So I'm not just in Leviticus, not just in Samuel. You know what it's like sometimes when you're just in some of those tougher parts to read and read side by side. And this year, again, I'm going to do a similar thing. Old Testament, New Testament, both in the same day. And I have copies of that plan just in the foyer. If you wanted a Bible reading plan, and I have 30 copies in the foyer. It takes you through the whole Bible in a year. But you've got to get past the first week and the second week. You've got to get past January. I'm just giving you some motivation here, right? Because you know what it's like? This is not a New Year's resolution. Don't even call it a resolution. Just say you're going to read God's Word every day. Or at least 5 days out of the seven every week. Have the weekend off if you need to. Work a system and ask God just to give you a harder desire to read God's Word and learn from Him. And yes, we want you to study the Bible in your home groups as well. We want you to read Christian books. We want you to come to church each week where you will get detailed explanations of passages as well. We want you to be reading the whole Bible to allow the whole sweep of biblical history to impact who you are and how you understand how God is at work. It says the righteous person, the person who does so, is his position is illuminated in verse 3 by the simile of a tree. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. It's a picture of a tree not in the desert, but a tree that is now by an irrigation channel where it constantly grows. And that's what it's like for the person who delights in the law of the Lord. It's like this tree. It's by an irrigation channel. The water never ceases to flow and it inevitably flourishes. It is green. It is fruitful. That's what God wants us to be like. But then there's the futility of the godless existence in verse 4 and 5. Not so the wicked, they shall not prosper as the righteous. It's characterized by meaninglessness and worthlessness. And you have a different word picture here. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. I'm not a farmer, not many of you are farmers probably, but you know what that image is like. They would take the grain, still mixed with broken straw and chaff, they would toss it up into the air with a pitchfork at the village threshing floor. It would happen during the period of the evening breeze. So you'd throw it up and the breeze would come through and blow away all the light chaff and the husks, or the more substantial grain fell back to the floor. The stuff that you're going to use, the grain you're going to use. The rest of it just, it's garbage. It's not necessary. It's worthless. It gets blown away. It's to be disposed of. And chaff, therefore, provided for the Psalms, a good description of all that was passing and useless. Those who reject God, those who live in opposition to God, they're like the chaff. It's blown away. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, verse 5. They've chosen to be enemies of God. They've chosen the counsel of the wicked. They are sinners and rebels. When they come before God at judgment, they do not stand. They find the judgment of God. It's been a crazy last couple of weeks, hasn't it? Crazy year, some people tell us. And it's funny that with all the killing and dying in Syria and everywhere else, we are focused on celebrities. I mourn the death of celebrities. Being not into music very much or acting very much, the death of a celebrity doesn't mean that much to me. Other than the fact that they are a person, and many of them have died outside of Christ. Many are dead because they follow the counsel of the wicked. Drunkenness, drug abuse, often medicating their loneliness and their brokenness, through those same drugs, often involved in immorality, homosexuality, including HIV, contracting HIV, AIDS, and other things. What I really mourn about is that many of these people have died and they will face a holy God and they will face them unforgiven. Some of these celebrities may have been Christians. They'll face God forgiven and at peace. And then something like 14 people drowned in the Christmas period. Children and adults. Many from other countries who maybe don't understand the dangers of some of our waterways and our lakes and our rivers and our beaches. Teenagers who thought they were too strong, too manly for them to get in trouble even though the beaches were closed. People have made mistakes. It only takes a little mistake in the water, doesn't it? I've been close to death twice in the water. I know it only takes a little mistake. And then babies, infants, hit by their parents' own cars. It's been a crazy period the last week or so. Saddened. Feeling for the families, the parents, the grandparents. I cannot imagine what it's like to run over and kill my own child at 2 or 3. I cannot imagine what it's like to see two twin children, babies, find themselves in a swimming pool, or infants they were. I think, if only I'd looked. I've just brought to mind whether celebrities, whether it's in the war situation in Syria, or through drownings, or through little accidents, that we all will face a holy God one day. We need to be ready to face him. And you don't get ready by listening to the counsel of the wicked, by behaving like them and ignoring God, but by meditating on the law of the Lord, where you discover that there is forgiveness through Christ, there is a God who loves you deeply, and there is eternal life for all who trust in him. And verse 6 says there is a final separation. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And friends, in Matthew chapter 7 in the New Testament, Jesus contrasts two ways also. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That verse gives me great courage in Australia. Because as the percentage of people who believe in God goes down in Australia, we're made to think that God is not real and God can't change lives today. Do you know, Jesus said right from the beginning, there is a narrow gate, there is a narrow road. Most people don't get on it. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. You know how you get on the broad road? Listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Behave like them. Stand mocking God. Do your own thing. And you end up on that road. So don't be discouraged in the new year. If you find yourself the only Christian at work, the only Christian in your family, pray that God would save some of them. But don't be discouraged. Remembering Jesus' words, there is a narrow road. And the way to enter that narrow road here on the first day of 2017, let me remind you, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. It's all about Jesus. Will you trust in Christ, live according to his word, or will you follow the counsel of the wicked on the road to destruction? May God help you, may God help me to listen to God, trust in him, and live a meaningful, a purposeful life in 2017 to his glory. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for the encouragement in this word. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to delight in your word and in Christ, our Saviour, and in our relationship with you, our Father. that we would live lives passionately devoted to you and your causes in 2017. Help us to resist temptation. Help us to resist sin. Help us to live holy, godly lives that truly bring glory and honour to you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.